All right, here. All right, how has your week been thus far?
It's been fairly productive.
Good, good.
Only Tuesday.
There you go.
A little writing yesterday.
Ah.
Got to do some more today.
What you writing?
And really some of it is along the lines we were talking about.
Oh.
Got sort of a plea in an email last week from my granddaughter, who is a junior in college, and doing what we all did, concerned whether the major that she's taking is going to lead to any kind of employment, and what the Lord really had for her life and how she might find that out, et cetera, et cetera. Ever been there?
You know, I don't know. I was weird, God blessed, to give very strong direction, and so, you know, I have not.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what God wants for my life, yes, but not from the direction. You know, I got the 3 bachelor's degrees in business.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wanted to start my own company.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really, I didn't do well in education, and I didn't like the classroom very much. I liked doing things, not learning things. And so what I did is I took all my classes, all the things I was learning, and actually as soon as I learned them, I tried them out in the field and said, huh, that's amazing, it works. Or, you know what, that doesn't work so well. Great in a textbook,
mm-hmm.
but not so. What's her major?
Anthropology.
Wow. So what would be her idea?
And her interest for some years has been archaeology.
Wow.
Try to make a living in either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not easy. That's not easy. Why is she, what's kind of drawn her to that?
Well, she started out in high school volunteering at Monticello.
Okay.
Jefferson's home, where they're doing a lot of digging and so on, and so she liked it, and she was learning how to do this thing.
Okay.
And she's been working for 3 years with Colonial Williamsburg, where they're doing a lot of digging, and you come up with bones, and she's learned how to identify bones, what part of the body they come from, what kind of animal they come from, et cetera, et cetera. You know, not too many people can do that. And on the other hand, there aren't too many people required to do that.
Yeah.
So,
I'll email you something over. There's a mastermind group of individuals in their 20s that we meet on Mondays at 6:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
And talk to them about career, about life, how do you network to find jobs, just a wide range of things that, you know, are very prevalent for those in their 20s.
Uh-huh.
So
I remember we had a conversation probably about 30 years ago or so. With a group of us, and realized that absolutely none of us was working anywhere near the field of our major in college.
What did you major in?
German and history.
See, that's what's so intriguing, because I think I'm really unusual. I mean, I've got a bachelor's degree in finance, a bachelor's degree in management, and a bachelor's degree in marketing.
Yeah.
And my first job out of college, I applied all 3 of them. I liked all 3. I liked actually the finance probably more than anything else, but I wasn't really good at it. So I went ahead and became a loan officer, and so got to use my finance. Never forget the first, I did residential mostly, but never forgot the first commercial loan I did with this really experienced, you know, banker guy, and you know, I've never been trained to do commercial loans or anything, and he kind of gave me an overview. I said, well, do you need pro formas and this and this and this, balance sheets, income statements? He's like, wow, you know all of that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, it works. There's something in my education that I've used. So,
in my Uncle Sam was standing by to give an education to those that.
gotcha.
I majored in German and history, but I was also NROTC. So as soon as I graduated, I was headed to be a Navy pilot.
Wow.
That took care of my career. I never went back. Spent my life in aviation. So,
so how'd you go from aviation to business?
Well, after I got out of the Navy, I started an aviation company. What else would I do?
Ah. What'd
so
you do?
I've done that for 20 years.
What kind of company? What'd you do?
Did everything we could to stay alive and make money. We did aircraft maintenance. We did aircraft sales, flight training, avionics, charter. Had several different airports that we, and all the fueling at the airport. And, you know, you do a little bit of everything, and it kind of grows, but it becomes fairly complex because it's doing so many different things.
Right. Well, I have two questions.
At the end of the day, it boils down to really one thing, which is leadership and finance.
Yeah. Well, I have two questions for you today. I don't know if we'll get to two of them in 15 minutes, but
okay.
the first question that I have is, Why do people start something, see success, and then stop doing what created the success?
Well, in business, it's pretty much a common thing that people get bored with what they're doing before it ceases to be successful, and they go on to the next thing.
What do you do to stop that?
In business, you have to learn how to delegate and work yourself out of a job. If you got an idea and it works and it continues to work, it now becomes a job not for an entrepreneur, but for a manager. And the problem is most entrepreneurs are not very good at delegating because they don't trust anybody else to do it as well as they do. And, of course, at first they won't, so there will be some failures. And that drives an entrepreneur up the wall to have somebody mess something up that they initiated. But if you want to have middle management and delegate and move on, you've got to allow failure and do some training and build people up. And that's not a common trait among entrepreneurs.
Interesting. The second question that I have is, and I don't even know how to ask the question. Have you ever dealt with people who are bitter in business, I guess in business, and they all of a sudden something is said that evidently triggers a whole series of a whole bunch of other things, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gracious, like it turns into World War III.
Well, I can't really think of any instances of that. I've seen it, but probably more from a distance, where people have the wrong concept of competition. And it actually irritates them, makes them angry when their competitor succeeds. And I think that they suffer from a basic deficiency of worldview, which is fairly common. We see it around us in the politics of envy, etc. And they live in a world of scarcity instead of a world of abundance, which means that their basic philosophy is that you can't succeed without somebody else failing. You can't make money without somebody else losing money. And that's kind of a zero-sum philosophy. And the more Christian worldview is the philosophy of abundance, that God wants us all to thrive, all to be creative, all to be able to create wealth with our own individual peculiar gifts and talents. And in that philosophy, it is a win-win situation is possible. In a zero-sum negotiation, you can only do a win-lose. And particularly if somebody is not overly talented and cursed with the zero-sum mentality, he probably will lose more often than he wins and become more and more bitter. Does that sound like anything you've seen?
It does. It's almost like there's maybe a pattern, like within a company where there's dysfunction, like if you question, you know, an individual, they become defensive, angry, lash out, attack. I mean, just almost viciously. And then people around them learn, well, you just don't address issues, because if you do, you're going to get decimated. And what if the president is also in kind of an amiable personality, doesn't like conflict either? And so you deal with, you know, that type of thing, and it's potentially evident in a marriage, in other relationships, in past work history, where there's these patterns, you know, of this continued, almost like a snapping, like everything's going fine, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden the person snaps.
Yeah, I think that tends to happen with people who are out of their depth, who are lacking self-confidence because they don't have any confidence in the Lord. Ideally, that's where our confidence is, and the Lord wants each of us to be working outside of our comfort area, doing things that are, you know, that are kind of wow, and that kind of zing you, and in that kind of an atmosphere, you can't get defensive. But if you lack that confidence, or you settle back into your comfort zone, then you can be pretty resistant to anybody who challenges you and really wants to push you beyond your comfort zone. And the problem with at least business in America, if you're not growing and advancing, you're going backwards. There is there's very little room for status quo in our business. It's much more dynamic than probably most places in the world.
So, you know, the company is having experience like that. They're kind of holding their own, but they're way behind. They're a technology company, and they're way behind their competition, or at least that's what a number of them think in the company is they're way behind, and I think most would agree. They were a leader years ago, but now they're not technology. They have a strong base of clients, unbelievable business model. Like the owner of the company, he's a Christian. The other individual, Catholic profession, faith, very involved in the church, very spiritual, it would seem. I mean, it seems that way. I mean, there's discussion of it, very strong sensitivity to that. The president, who is a Christian, an owner is a Christian, how should he address that? Should he just let it go? Should he just kind of let it work itself out? Should he, address? I mean, it's like there's not depth in the position. There's not two or three deep.
Well,
there's one.
From a macro position, there's a company you've heard of called 3M.
Yeah.
And they have a rule in the company that at least 30% of their income has to come from products that are less than 3 years old.
Wow.
Now that kind of begins to challenge, and it affects the way you hire people, the kind of people you hire, and it just reorients you and makes you continue to be an exciting company. Now, if you in a company, I've got in my group a company that's in high-tech computer stuff, and they tend to reinvent themselves at least every 3 years, and they're very intentional about it because they realize that what they offer is becoming obsolete at a very rapid pace, and they've got a division now that has got some big Navy contracts that's not very high-tech and probably will go on for several years, providing a lot of good income for them. But they realize that they cannot allow that to let them go stagnant on their leading-edge stuff, and they have to get new stuff to offer all the time. And if you get a company that hasn't done that in several years, then if the leader is the kind of dynamic guy that belongs in a dynamic business, probably the best thing he could do would be to sell that company to someone who can well manage that stream of income and continue to manage it, and spin himself off into a new venture that has to grow and create.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate that input. Anything I can do to keep you in prayer?
Yeah, pray for my health. No big deal, but I started to come down with a cold yesterday, and it can be a real drag on trying to get anything done.
Yeah, I've been fighting one for about a week or so.
Yeah, it's no fun.
It is no fun. It is no fun. Well, Ralph,
you're not sick enough to be sorry even for yourself, but you're not well enough to do good work.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, Ralph, I really appreciate your input and wisdom as well. And if you come up with any other ideas or resources on bitterness, I'm doing research on the heart right now, biblically, and there's some interesting things. There's I'll kind of close with a Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know that you ought to, how you ought to answer every man." And I'm kind of thinking about that and saying, that would seem like it would be possible then. I mean, know how you ought to answer every man, that if you're in the Spirit continually, you can answer every man according to what God would want you to.
Requires it in terms of our input, it requires the sacrifice of significant daily time for quiet time and confession, so that in the morning, so that we are as filled with the Holy Spirit each day as we possibly can be, and that might at least some of the time keep us from answering and allow us to be the conduit of the Holy Spirit's answer. Sometimes we're too quick to come up with our answer, and that doesn't follow that pattern quite.
Well, I look forward to talking to you next week if you're available, because I'd love to hear more about that. Thank you, Ralph. Have a blessed day.
Okay, God bless, Mark.
Okay. Bye-bye.